السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ولن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. الحمد لله، we start again in one of the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I believe today is the 67th one or 68th one, I'm not sure, but in the 60s. And as we always do, we remind ourselves with the names of Allah and how the names of Allah are the epitome of the attributes. The names and attributes of Allah reach the epitome, and that means that it is complete, it is perfect. Meaning that when we say someone who is just, that is relative. That is relative. Meaning that if someone who's making judgment and he made a just judgment 95 times, 93 times, 98 times, then we say he's a just person. Okay? But when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute, we actually saying it is a completion, it's 100%. Even this 100% is with our measure, it's more than that. It is the perfection and the epitome of everything, of all the attributes and name of Allah, names of Allah. So we need to think this way when we are thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is as-salam or al-quddus, the pure or the peace, that's the epitome of everything and does not have any decrease of any measure at all. It is a completion of the attributes and the name. And only Allah will reach that, or only Allah has that. See, even the word when we say reach, that means there is something that is with Allah reachable that has to do, right? So we should say only Allah has that. Now, the name of today is Al-Wajid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Al-Wajid. And as we are used to do, we look at the name from the linguistic point of view, and then what it means when it is mentioned to Allah, and what is our part of it. Because Allah created us from His attributes. So we have the attributes that Allah created us with, but of course we have deficiencies. So when we carry the attribute, we carry it with qualities that is, we cannot compare it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, al-wajid, it has to do with richness, okay? Al-ghina huwa al-jida. So, the has to do with richness. And it also could have to do with knowledge. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ, meaning he had the knowledge that you were ضال, so he فَهَدَى, he guided you. So it has to do with knowledge. And also it has to do with emotion. In Arabic, الوجد, it is some emotion. It could be could be emotion of anger. Anger could be described as such, or love and care could describe as such. But it is has to do with emotion. Also, al-wujud, it is existence. It is existence. Okay? So we say, is Allah mawjud? Does Allah exist? And of course, we say yes. But we say, do we exist? We say yes, and everything else exists. But the existence of everything, it's an existence of different than the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wajib al-wujub. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must exist. Okay? Our existence is from nothing. And to changes. Our existence is from nothing to something, and that something that we are in is a constant change. Always changing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's existence, it is from always being there. Allah huwa al-awwal wa al-akhir. Who at the beginning and at the end, Allah is always there. So the existence of Allah, it is not from something to something. This existence, it is an innate attribute with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not change. So the existence of Allah does not have degrees. Okay? Allah is absolute. Because when we have degrees, as we started, we say it is reaching a level and then less of a level. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure of that. Allah has the epitome with everything and the completion of everything. So, al-wajid, in a way also of finding things, to find something. To find, meaning as a human being, you taste something. And then تجد الحلاوة, you'll find, and حلاوة is an Urdu word too. Sweetness, right? Meaning that you will find تجد something, right? You taste something that is salty and you find saltiness. Okay, تجد الملح, the salt, okay? That is with your tongue. With your eyes, you look at something, تَجِدُ الْجَمَالِ, you find beauty. With your touch, you touch something, تَجِدُ النُعُومَ, you find the softness. Okay? So, الْوَاجِد, or from وُجُود, or to find, we find things. But the things that we find, we must have a tool to find it. And it is finding a feeling as well. You find feelings. You are in a hal, in a condition of. When you say, kaifa haluk, what is your condition? And you say, you know, ana bi khair. What does it mean, ana bi khair? Meaning, wajadtu nafsi bi khair. I find myself now in a good condition. Okay? So it is a hal. Now, all of this is something that you, with us, to find something, there is a tool that you use purposely or just happens, so you find something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure of that. So Allah does not take the means or have a tool to find anything. Everything exists with Allah. He is al-wajid. Okay? He is al-wajid. So, everyone, what is the opposite of al-wajid? The Arabic speaking people. No. Al-faqid. Right. Al-wajid, the opposite of is al-faqid, right? Al-faqir is the one you're missing something. You should have something and you miss it. فَقَدْتُ شَيْئًا I lost something. Okay? So al-faqir is that he lost something. Al-wajid is the one who found something. Okay? But that is only with a human being. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is al-wajid, meaning He's the one who is a constant having everything. Okay? Now, our relationship with Allah is, we understand that what we find, it is written to us by Allah. Whatever it is that we find, okay, is it, either it is something physical, something emotional, whatever it is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything for you to find. That's why Jannah, it is so beautiful. Because you will find in it everything that you could imagine and things that you could never imagine. You will find it. Because Al-Wajid will give you that to find which from Allah that your disability and you are your limitation of this life, okay, could never comprehend it, sense it, understand it, or feel it. So when you go to Jannah, تَجِدُ مَا لَمْ تَجِدُ, you will find that which you never found. You reach a level that you have never thought it is possible or ever existed. Okay? So in this life, we should be with this feeling that whatever it is that we have, it's from Allah and Allah has everything. Okay? And also, Allah give us or make us find that which we deserve. Allah make us find that which we deserve. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the way, the al-wajid is not in the Quran as the word al-wajid, but it is in the hadith, the sahih hadith. But the understanding of al-wajid is within the Quran. أَلَمْ يَجِدِكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى وَوَجَدَكَ عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى. Okay, so here is Allah has the knowledge of you and found you what? Have a deficiency in something and He give you what you needed. Okay? وَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى, could not find a way, guided you the way. عَائِلًا فَأَغْنَى, you were needy and Allah give you what you needed. Okay? Now, we should go in our lives knowing that whatever it is that we need, Allah will complement or give us that which we need. Whatever it is that we are missing, we will find. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us that which we are disabled to get, we are unable to get. Yes, we take the means, but what we get is from Allah, from Al-Wajid. Also, we get what we deserve. You will find what you deserve. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was facing the tribe of Al-Yahud in Medina, when they tried to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they broke the treaty. Rasulullah sallam went with the believers, with the companions, as a means of war now, a battle. Because they broke the treaty, the peace treaty that Rasulullah sallam had with them. They were living among the Muslimin, but within a fortress. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the believers that you thought that they'll never come out. Okay? وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ, and they thought that their fortress will protect them from Allah. فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا, Allah came to them from where, from a direction that they never thought, they never calculated. So what happened? وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبِ, Allah threw fear in their heart. That is wujud, وجدوا الرعب في قلوبهم. They found fear is in their heart. Now, where did this come from? It's from Allah. Allah put that condition, al-wajid, put that condition in their heart. So what happened after that? يُخْرِبُونَ بِيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. They destroyed their own homes with their own hands and the hands of the believer. So those who have vision, who sees, who can understand and reflect, take a wisdom from that. Here is a condition that you thought is impossible to penetrate, impossible to deal with, and Allah, al-wajid, make through something, a condition within the disbelievers, the solution came through it. Okay? Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَلَمْ نَشْرَحْ لَكَ صَدْرَكَ. Didn't we put your chest in a way of inshirah, opening and comfort and tumanina? Yes, what is that? It is from al-wajid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chest into this condition. He had difficulties, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but his chest was in comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we have a close relationship with Allah, we will find Allah al-wajid, who put certain conditions around us and in us. Okay? So, by getting close to Allah with your intellect, with your mind, knowing Allah, you find yourself in a certain condition that Allah will put you in. When you're getting close to Allah with the way that Allah designed for us, in the way of worship, not in a way of bid'ah, so you'll find yourself in a condition that Allah loves for you. Because when you are away from Allah, you are in conditions, but it's a condition that is irritable, a condition that is uncomfortable, a condition that is missing something. When you are closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are closer to al-wajid, you are closer to al-wajid, the one who will give you that condition that he is pleased with his ibad, with his servants. And you can find this inside so much in our history, in our scholars and prophets and so forth. You find many, they will go through many difficulties. But what happens? You find them in so much calmness, so much tranquility. So you look at them and what you see is difficulty. You listen to them and you say, Subhanallah, they are in a hal that is so beautiful. They are in a wujud that is so beautiful. You look at a disbeliever sometimes and you say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah, right? Here is a person who has this and has that and this and that, right? And then you start listening from that person. You find the condition that he's in, it is so miserable because of the distance that they have with Allah. Okay? So that is the hal of a kafir. A hal of a kafir is the one that you would have, you know, you feel sorry for. Okay? And the hal of a believer, and a wujud of a believer, existence of a believer, does not matter the outside and the surface condition, but the depth of the understanding, where he stands in the universe, it is so beautiful. Where he stands with Allah, it is so comforting. Okay? But at the same time, a believer does not take this condition and wujud and hal in a way of taking it for granted. Imagine the feeling of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that he gave him the bushra of Jannah. Give him the bushra of Jannah. Here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sitting with him, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell him, you are a person of Jannah. As-Sadiq al-Ameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a glad tidings, the good news is in Jannah. If you get that good news, what would you happen to you? Okay? Now Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this condition that he's in, it is so amazing, it's so beautiful, it's so nice, it's so comforting. But he has so much knowledge. He knows that he should not take it in granted and say or for granted. He said, if one of my feet already in Jannah and the other one outside of it, I might be tested and fail the test. So he is, you know, knows walking and taking the means to get close to Allah still. Taking the means to do everything that is pleasing to Allah. Taking the means to stay away from everything that is haram. Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he gave and gave and gave in Ghazwat Tabuk, in for Jaish al-Usra, okay, the army of al-Usra, of the difficulties, he gave 100 camels. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked who would give more. He stood up and another 100. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked who will give more. He gave another 100. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that nothing will harm, the meaning of it, nothing will harm Uthman after that. That's it. Meaning what he did in the way of Allah is so much in good intention and so much in giving that nothing will harm him after that. But he still would be on the path of those who are workers and working hard, still does not take that in for granted. He's saying, you know, this hand that shook hand and touched Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, make sure that will not touch anything, touch not my aura, does not touch anything that is haram, does not, you know, get filthy with any kind of filth. Imagine a person, you know, look at his right hand, something special because it touched the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam many times. Okay, so it is us connecting with this attribute is working in the way of Allah so we can find that condition that Allah gives us and measuring ourselves according to what we find. Meaning that if you find your chest closed, if you find yourself sad, if you find yourself angry, if you find yourself in a way that is not good, look at yourself. Look how much distance you have with Allah. Look at your recent history. What did you do? What did you think about? What is it that caused this condition to come upon you from Allah? Okay. And when you put your finger on it, fix it. If you don't know what it is, go to Allah and make istighfar for that which you know and that which you do not know. For that which you've done purposely and that which you've done, you do not, that were not with that intention and it just happened. With the thought that came to your mind that was not good, you make istighfar for it. And the thought that came to your mind without you bringing it to your mind, just came to your mind. Ask Allah to forgive you. And that is the path of getting this feeling and condition from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-wajid to put you in a way that is so comforting and so calming. Oh, so calm. We know it, like we said this many times, Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, he was saying things when he was in jail, just thinking about it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved it for us until today. Okay? The things that he said in jail, imagine if someone who's incarcerated in jail, and people are, you know, with him, okay? And they record this, and Allah allows these words to come throughout history. How comfortable he was. how comfortable he was, and how, you know, he describes the his Jannah is in his chest. So he said, so what are you going to do with me? If it was a person that his Jannah... If the person is Jannah in his chest, so how can you make him miserable? What can you? You cannot reach that and take it away. You cannot reach that and take it away. And he used to give him, you know, he has ink and pens and papers. He used to write in jail. You know, he used to have people, you know, there too and so forth. Finally, they wanted to punish him. So they took all these tools away, right? Because they could not stop him. He's been writing books and having halaqat to the point that people who are in jail with him, when it's time for them to leave jail, they said, no, we want to stay a little bit longer because we don't want to miss this halaqat. So they took all means of writing from him. So he started thinking about and reading the Quran and reflecting on the Quran. And then at the end he says, and that was close to before he died. I don't know how close to his death that was. He said, oh, how much we neglected the Quran. How much we neglected the Quran. Okay, because now he has in his chest from the Quran, so he's reciting and pondering about it. And from pondering all this time, only on the Quran and only on the Quran, he found the treasures, and the treasures, he said, we have neglected the Quran so much. So he was in the gardens of the ayat, gardens of the surah of the Quran, the gardens of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that was a pleasure in itself. Okay. So whatever it is that we can do in a way of istighfar all the time, we should. The way, whatever we can do in a way of getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to find this rawdah, we should attend to. And whatever we can give to others to give them a condition that is good, that is a must on us as well. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put you in a certain condition, give you what you need, then you should find those who are in need and do your best to give them what they need. A word. قَوْلٌ مَعْرُوفٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ يَتْبَعُهَا أَذَى. A qawl, a saying that is good, and a forgiveness. It's better, just a saying and forgiveness. It's something that does not cost you anything. Just a saying and forgiveness. It's better than sadaqah that you give that follows by adha, that follows by some kind of a bother. Not harm, adha. Adha. Yeah, adha is some kind of a bother. You talk about what you have done in a way of goodness, what you have given, what you have, you know, what Allah allowed you to do for someone. Allah doesn't need that. You need the sadaqah. Allah does not, the sadaqah that you are giving, you need it. The one you are giving it to him, to them, they need it, and the one that is given is in need for it too. Allah is not in need for it. So if it's followed by adha, this is, Allah is al-ghaniyul hamid. Okay? Allah is the one who is ghaniy and hamid, and you are the one who is a faqir, who is a needy. So whatever it is, a saying that is good, a motion or a movement or a touch that is good. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us, a hand that you put on a head of an orphan, just a hand, put him on the head. Allah will give you multiple good deeds with every hair that he has on his head. Imagine that. Okay? That is, of course, meaning, or that the intention from that is to give comfort to that orphan. So, this is our nasib from this name, our share in this name. That is, we also can put people in a condition, and better than the condition that we see them in, the best we can from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Again, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or He is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wajid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is a constant condition of all His names and attributes in a way of completion, perfection, the epitome of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-wajib. And inshaAllah, please, if you would like to make the comments, inshaAllah, go ahead. Do you have the microphone? Yes.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just a continuation of the thoughts of Ibn Taymiyyah, that how he was comfortable in this situation, and then the opposite side completely. I was in the surgery with one of the surgeons like a couple of weeks ago, and he's talking about of course, this surgeon is neurosurgeon. He makes at least a couple million dollars a year, at least, you know. I don't know how much more, but that's minimum. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about one of his friends who found a company, and he's like having like $40 million. And he's so upset, so upset that how come this? He was not good in school and stuff like that, and now how become like... And really, he's upset, really.
He's operating.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could tell that he's angry.
Could he tell us his name?
He's angry. He said, I saw him in whatever beach, and he did not invite me for lunch even. he's angry. He wants lunch. He wants free lunch from this millionaire. I mean, subhanAllah, how they become upset from, silly things. The other thought I have... Al-Wajid, could be Al-Wajid mean the founder, like Al-Khaliq, the one who create things. Yes. Allah create without means, yes. But there is a process. Mm-hmm. There is a process, a human being have to go, Allah put him in the womb, but then he's become, step after step until become complete creation. Uh-huh. But Al-Wajid, that the founder without nothing, like, yes. Who did found this, who's Uh-huh. It's like this, Allah, He's the founder. Uh-huh. Don't ask where it's coming from.
Yes, Al-Wajid is more of many things,
right.
Okay, and emotional things, and and non-tangible things, right?
Right.
But Al-Bari'u is more of the initiation of the creation.
Right.
Yes, out of nothing, Al-Bari'u. Al-Khaliqu, Al-Bari'u, Al-Musawwir. Al-Khaliqu, the creator with the knowledge.
Right.
Al-Bari'u, that brings it out of nothing. Okay. Al-Musawwir is the one who fashion it in a beautiful way.
Okay, yeah. Beautify it. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, and Al-Wajid also, yes. Like you said,
so
the emotional.
So that has the
could be,
that
yeah.
connotation.
Right, right.
Yes.
And also you said he's the Al-Wajd. Al-Wajd huwa Al-Hanin.
Yes.
That's mean the extreme emotion.
Yeah.
Then Allah also could be the loving one, and the one, yes. who is, have emotion in, yeah. in the, mm-hmm. in the people, which is including mercy and love and care, mm-hmm. and... Yeah. Yani, Allahu alam. That's what I would think. Where did you say the hadith? Do you remember the hadith that this name mentioned in Al-Wajid?
No, I can. We can, inshallah.
Look it up. Okay.
Yes, but there are hadith that has the names of Allah, and hadith talked about the attributes of Allah as in some du'as. And we'll find it, inshallah.
Yeah, I hear it most often, Al-Wajid, Al-Majid,
yes, they are following. Yes, it definitely is written in all the books.
Right, right.
Yes.
Yeah, Allah alam. If I think about something, I will say, inshallah.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Just continuation about al-wajid. I think I heard you say it has to do with knowledge. Wajadaka dallan fahada. That means Allah knew that you were misguided or lost. Mm-hmm. So did I hear you correct?
Al-wajid,
not only to find, but knowledge, he knows.
The knowledge, yes. 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 Is Habibuna here? He's not here. Yes, he does. He's the one he reminded the one of the microphone. He said, remind everybody. That's why I'm worried, you know. Yeah. Is this Brother Sayyid talking?
Yes. Yes. I have a question.
Yes.
This Wajada. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hear people talking in Arabic, and they use this word in the meaning of seeing. Mm-hmm. Wajada means to see also.
Yes. Yes. To see, meaning you found something through your vision.
Okay. Finding something. The vision.
Yeah. In other words, you're looking for it and you found it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? Okay. So you say, wajadtuha, or wajadtuhu, I found it.
Oh, okay.
I found it. How did you find it? And that's a beautiful comment, because now you take this thought, you found it with your eye, with something physical.
Yeah.
What about your thinking? You say, I find it too.
Yeah.
Right? The thought that you find. Okay? It was with your emotion.
Yeah.
You find yourself in a certain emotion. That is all goes into the same thing. And that is a summarization of what we're talking about, yes.
And finding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he finds everything without missing anything. That is also...
Allah has everything, not
we
missing
We find
anything.
Things which we were missing,
uh-huh.
but not Allah. He finds everything without...
MashaAllah, very good, yes. Yeah, it's already there.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Yes, Allah, yeah.
A lot of...
No. So we can record, inshallah. Go ahead.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have a lot of attributes we don't know about. Mm-hmm. And I think because we will never be able to understand it.
Yes.
We cannot comprehend an attribute, you know, we don't have an experience with it.
Yeah.
Like we talked one time.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We are a collector of information.
Yeah.
We just collect data and we compare each thing in our life to according to this data we have.
Yes.
Whatever knowledge we have, we compare it. We said, okay, this is that. But if we don't have the data to begin with, if our mind never had the data, so how we will compare towards what? You see? Yeah. So there is a
Jannah
lot.
Jannah is beautiful then?
Exactly. Yeah, the Jannah that la aynun ra'at wa la udnun sami'at, that's exactly right. That no eye seen nor, because there's no data.
There's no comparison.
Right. We cannot, we don't have a data to say, oh, okay, this is the Jannah look like this. Okay, this is the such an, I mean, we could give example from our life. I mean, 300, 200 years ago, or 300, if you said to somebody, oh, there is electricity, you know, something will, you sit in the dark and it will be in, he will never be, you cannot explain it to him.
Yeah.
You cannot, because it's something he never, you know, have data about it. Or internet, you tell him, okay, you sit down like this and you could see China and Google.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you talking about?
Yes.
He will never be able to comprehend what you are talking about.
You are touching on a point that is so important, because what you say now is an-naql qabla al-aql.
Right, exactly.
The text before the intellect.
Exactly, we should not argue exactly.
The text before the intellect.
Right.
And many Muslims today,
they
go to al-aql qabla al-naql.
Right,
they go to the intellect before the text.
If their data did not match what they hear, they were rejected.
They're easy to refuse.
Yeah, they were rejected completely.
Imagine,
said, oh, this is not true.
Yes.
Why? Because he does not have the data.
Yes.
But yeah, you are right. I mean, there is a lot of things in the teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Quran. We don't have data yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe we have. Maybe we will never have the data.
Yeah.
We should take it like it is. Yeah. I mean, we should.
And
not
sometimes the data could be possible, but not quite. We do not quite understand it, and you say, how could that be?
Right.
But
right.
The possibility of it, of the data that we have. For example, the fly in your juice or the water.
Right.
In your cup. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, right, push it down before you take it out, because one wing has the disease, the other one has the antidote for it.
Right.
Okay? Right. So now you say, okay, I'll do that, but how could that be, right? There's something you could not quite comprehend, but eventually maybe you can comprehend. But then there are things that, to begin with, you have no data at all,
right,
you know?
Right.
You know, here is the animal, Ajathatha, that will come at the end of time.
Right, talking.
Talking to you.
What is that? Exactly.
Okay, and tell you who is a believer, who is not a believer.
Right.
And the end of it is like the front of it, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So big. And when it is moves, it moves into put, it is part, or it is whatever, how it moves.
Right.
Where it, the end of its sight, how huge that animal is and so forth, you know?
Right, right.
So
we had a family come to visit us like 3-4 years ago, and we are talking to them about Islam, and I don't know, my father was sitting and my mother and my wife, so they mentioned something about jinn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the minute they mentioned, and those people who are not Muslims but just, you know, friends, we're just talking to them, immediately they step back and they start thinking that we are nuts,
yeah,
right? Immediately that, yeah, okay, this is, those people are weirdo, you know, like what they are talking about. In the same time, those people, they go to a movie, they see E.T., they saw the, you know, all, whatever it is, and they said, oh yeah, yeah, it might not be exist alive somewhere in the, they are the same people who reject the, you see, because they have some data from the movie, and they convince them that there might be a life, and look like this with one eye in his head and stuff like that. They believe that.
To the point, remember the group a few years ago, a long time ago, who were all IT people, okay? They were computer wizards, okay? And they were a cult, and they would live together in big, huge places. Okay, and they will not get married, and certain come, and they were believing that the Haley come.
Oh, the one who suicide all of them.
Yes.
Right, right. I remember that.
Something like that. Yes, and the comet was about to arrive, and they believe that it will arrive at this year, and
right,
then everybody
right.
will be lifted, going up, and things like that.
Right.
And they all committed suicide. What is that? That
right.
They believe it to the point that they took their own lives.
Yes, yes. The government surrounded.
And they have
them,
no data about it. It's
right.
all made believe. It's
exactly.
all made believe. Just something in the skies.
They were waiting for something to come and pick them
Subhanallah,
up.
Yeah.
They had them drinks, and you're right, they were all young, very smart,
intelligent, very intelligent, and very. Unintelligent, the same way. Intelligent secularly, but in darkness.
I don't remember where the place was, but
it was in California,
somewhere.
It's a huge mansion that he was renting.
It was in the news, and it was a big thing. Marshall,
right.
Howard Marshall. Imam, Brother Habib is here.
Habib is here.
He just asked about you.
So we drink your milk. You did not come here. We just have it one cup of milk. I supposed to bring milk for him, I forget, but you know, inshallah, tomorrow morning.
Has nothing to do with Islam, but using the word Jannah, or paradise, or Mecca, it's being used in the language. Is it acceptable to say this is Jannah al-Qur'an, this is paradise, talking about nice beach or Hawaii or something?
No.
Or Mecca, you say this is Mecca of all the razors,
no.
Mecca of the servers or something like
no.
that. Is this acceptable?
No.
No.
Paradise, Al-Firdaus, Firdaus, they translated to paradise, by the way. So when we say paradise, it has a root in Arabic too. Firdaus. No, it is the Jannah of the hereafter, the Jannah of the hereafter. But if you use it in a word Jannah in Arabic as a garden, it's used as a garden as well. You know, if you use it in Jannah as a garden. Yes. Now, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَيْنِ رَجُلَيْنِ جَعَلْنَا لِأَحَدِهِمَا جَنَّتَيْنِ مِنْ أَعْنَابٍ جَنَّتَيْنِ. Okay. So, Jannah in but no, and the word Mecca is no. Yes. No.
Just the audience in it, just the curves.
Yes.
So, go back to the point that, yes.
Microphone.
No, it's not recording.
No, we are recording.
The naql wal aql, the one you talked about, it's really extremely, just now, you know, mentioned really a good point. It's extremely important, especially in these days, you know. It's the Islam, you have to take it as a total. And some people, you know, they when they start digging deep and using their 21st century knowledge, they start saying, why would you do this and what's that? And start to the starting to modify some things, and you know, this is an old fashion, you don't have to do this, why you have to do that, and all this, you know, and they start putting their what they think extreme knowledge to the put the Islam to the test of their knowledge, and they reject a lot of things, you know, and they forget that really they don't know anything what from Allah knowledge, like Allah said in the Quran, and it's true, it's true. I mean, look who the generation before us. What they did know, nothing. I mean, comparing to what we know now.
ضرب لنا مثلاً.
Right, right. Right, and the next generation, I mean, we don't know after a couple hundred years what they will know. They might know scientifically, you know. They will be old-fashioned. We are now, we will be like, oh, our grandfathers was, you know, like, they did nothing. Yeah, so... it's very important that to stick with that, and I hear it a lot of the scholars when they said, and they quote the hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, when she asked why you have to when you know breaking fast, the woman when she has her cycle, why she have to make up the fasting but she don't have to make up the prayer. I mean, what's the knowledge of
yeah,
that?
She said, exactly,
she answered what we have to answer today also, until the day of judgment. Yeah. That is what we order to do.
Yeah, exactly. We were ordered to do that. We have the period, do not make the fast, yeah, make the fast and not pray.
What is, why? Allah said so. Allah said so, and that's it. Why you have to, make tayammum? Yeah. Why you have to wipe on your, the socks above your, not below? I mean, don't argue with
remember
this.
Remember the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. About after al-Isra wal Mi'raj, when he came back to Mecca, somebody looked at him and says, oh, your face is seems like a person who has something to tell us. Do you have something to tell us today? In a way of mockery.
Yeah, right.
He said, yeah, I went to Bayt al-Maqdis and came last night.
He said,
if I get everybody, would you repeat it? He said, yes. So the point here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Bayt al-Maqdis in front of his eyes.
Right.
Okay? So he was able to see it because he was there at night, could not see much details. So now,
describing.
So they would ask the question and he would look and say, yes, this looks like this and this looks like that. And everybody knew that he never gone there.
Right.
Okay? So people just a few years ago, if they take this hadith as something just don't you know? Right now, actually, it is possible physically you can bring something in front of you,
yeah,
see it.
Virtual reality. I saw that in the TV also. I saw they could bring a human being. You know, you could describe him as a picture.
Yes.
They transmit a signal. Mm-hmm. Some commentators somewhere, and they several cameras and technology. Yeah. You could
and
describe
you can
him.
Talk to him in the studio.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Just as he is so, there, but so somewhere else.
Yeah, yes. You are right, Sheikh Mahmoud. 5 years ago, it was impossible. This. Okay.
So now, we should have taken, people should have taken that hadith with naql, without aql.
Right. You don't have
with the text, and that's a text alone. You say, how possible that is? We don't know, but we know 100% that it's possible. And that is it. Whether you find it in your life or not, it, was not, it does not matter. Yes. Give the microphone, inshallah.
In the early 60s, I was a little kid, and we had a cousin that resided in another city about 300 miles away, and he used to ring my father in his job and speak to him, and then my dad used to come and tell us, Abdurrahman, say hi, or Abdurrahman is doing this or that. One day, I remember this, my father, rahimahullah, he came and he said, I think Abdurrahman is losing his mind. Abdurrahman is my cousin, who was, and he was asked, why did you say that? He said, because I was talking to him on the phone, and he told me that there would be a day that he will be talking to me and we will see each other on the phone. And then my father at the time thought that my cousin was losing his mind. And I was hoping, but it didn't happen. I was hoping that my dad was still alive to see that, yes, that's possible. There is Skype, there is this, there is that. I remember that all these years, subhanAllah. But now it's possible. But in early 60s, the same thing happened when, in June of 69, when they reached the moon. And I remember my grandmother and my mother, and we were still sitting in the house, and they say, it's impossible. If it was a fly, we should be able to see it, let alone if it's a big ship, you know. These are just to confirm what you're saying. So the next generation will look at us like we didn't know anything.
Yes, and there is al-ghaib, absolute ghaib, and no matter what happens, you'll never know. And Allah challenged us with that and give us a miracle in the Quran. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. They ask about the soul. The soul is a matter, belongs to Allah, and I'll give you so little of knowledge. See, no matter how much you're going to be advanced, you'll never know about the soul. This is already, we were told that. Okay, so don't even go there. You go there as much as you want, you'll never know what the soul is. Even Allah told us, there are things with a limitation that you'll never know, and it is the closest to you. The soul is the closest to you, and you have no idea what it is, and you'll never know. Microphone. Yes. Yeah. There is some saying that. Yeah. This man knows. Give him the microphone. We want to record this now. Well, we said that someone from those who were involved in this whole thing have wrote a book and mentioned that. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I have read that.
Where is the microphone?
The whole thing. There is a big...
It's on. There are still people, they are discussing this until today. There are scholars, scientists, photographers, experts on, you know, filmmaking and environment and things, and they have come up with so many questions about the moon landing that are not yet answered. So there's a still a section of people who believe that the man did not land on the moon in the July of 1960s something. And one of the question that I now remember, I read about it a long time ago. One of the question is when they put the flag on the moon, it was fluttering. And they say there is no wind on moon. how can the flag
is that wrong?
Better?
I'm not that
yeah, there is one. Yeah. This is the one question.
My question is, why didn't they land after that?
Yeah, they did after that, yes.
When?
No, yeah. Nobody knows.
They sent something. No, they sent something. But the man
landed on the moon, but the landing that was done in 1960s mm-hmm. was, some say, I don't know what is true, some say that it was staged,
right.
And it was because of some reasons that yeah. we don't know.
But the question here between this is not, I'm just, my simple mind of knowing about this, I'm just asking a simple question. From the moment of this supposedly 69 landing to the point of something actually landing in the moon, it was a long, long time. And yes. during that time, there were things happening in the space, having yes. space station doing this
yeah,
and that.
That's right.
So why didn't they have all of this on the moon instead of having it in the space?
I don't know. Yeah, I have no answer.
Yeah,
but
could
still
be some technical reason.
Yeah,
or something
there are books on it, and okay. you know, people have tried to prove it mm-hmm. with photographs and you know analysis of the photograph. The experts on light, they say the pictures taken have more than one shadow, which is impossible in an actual setting, unless you have 4 or 5 sources of light. You cannot have 5 shadows of the flag and things like that. So there is a section of people who believe that the man did not land in at that time. Maybe they did it after that.
Let's go back to Asma Allah al-Husna. Alhamdulillah.
There are very strong arguments. I have read many articles and one book. There is one book. I had that book, but I lost it.
I mean, China last year they faked all this opening ceremony.
Yeah.
Did you know that, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What opening ceremony?
I haven't heard this. The
yeah,
Olympics.
It's fake, huh?
The Olympics.
Yeah, it is not actual what they show you on TV. What's happening there?
What do you mean?
It's a sound effect and. Lights and stuff like that. It's half of it's fake. It's what's in the TV, what the camera
it
was not happening. Not exactly
not
what like you saw.
It was refined.
Right.
It was refined by
photographic tricks. You know.
Right. Right.
There were a lot of photographic tricks in the ceremony.
Yeah. I didn't read that. You did not miss anything, don't worry.
Like they showed there was a man hanging from a crane or a rope, and he was walking in the air, and he took a whole round of the stadium. People say it's impossible, you cannot do it. Yeah, but it was just a camera trick.
Mm.
Yeah. Whatever it is, that's not the subject.
So soon, maybe we would hear that thing that they sent on Mars, that little computerized thing.
This is not
the
subject of
the Yeah, the point is al-naql qabla al-aql.
If you have a hadith sahih and the Quran said something, so take it and don't worry about it if it makes it.
These are different opinions about everything. People have questions about anything that is happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
People have arguments for it and people have arguments against it, and each group has their own proof,
mm-hmm.
their own sources, and
mm-hmm.
their own
convictions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
It's just a debate.
Mm-hmm.
It's a debate.
Yeah, so it's now when that people could lie.
Yeah.
Sultan, I think.
No, Sultan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sultan
Allah. Because the following of the ayah said that Allah would send shuwab in nuhas. You cannot get through that sky. You see, Allah will prevent you from doing that. You will never be able. You know the sky, I'm not talking about our sky. I'm talking about the the skyscraper sky there for could be millions of years, light years until you get through. So that's what moves. I don't know.
Yes, and it is the Sultan, meaning the ability that Allah will give you, the permission that Allah will give you. Yeah. Remember that the spaceship that exploded just a few seconds after
Challenger 86.
That's 86. That's it. What was its name?
Challenger.
Challenger. Who are you challenging? You know.
One exploded while it took off, the other another discovery or something.
Supplement was coming down. Yes.
And there was and they one lost some of the lining. And
in the mid-70s, there was space from Russia, and it landed, it didn't land. But when they opened it, the people in it were there.
SubhanAllah.
There was a fire in their ship. The ship landed, but everything was burned.
Wow. Right?
They were burned. But there were two astronauts.
They were talking to them, so that in our
atmosphere.
They were corresponding. Suddenly they opened the
cover. From 5 minutes ago until now, the talk was just out of the halaqa.
For the record only.
We'll ask our brother Abu Azhar to, inshallah, to clean the CD up, inshallah.
This topic, the irrelevant talk should be removed.
Alhamdulillah.
The passing of the moon is not the
passing
time, not the topic of the
session. Alhamdulillah. See, if we have the halaqah after Isha, none of this will happen. Quickly, we're going to finish and go. Well, this is good, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Well, how long do we have until Isha?
20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Alhamdulillah. So, if you want to open another subject or you want to, inshallah.
Okay.
Al-Wajid. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, you needed your sleep.
You have
No.
No.
Mm-hmm. So inshallah we'll get you out. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khairan.